Well, I was a Southeast Asia picture writer for Associated Press. My job was basically to cover the southern region. However, this story was building into something really big, so they wanted me to come up there and help out on the story. The problem was that the Beijing government didn't want to give me a journalist visa, and they denied it, so I had to figure out another way to get into China. I booked a tourist, and when I got in there to the airport, I had to figure out a way to smuggle all my camera gear in. And this is a big concern. I thought I might get arrested. Fortunately, something was going on with an old lady and a live chicken in the corner of the terminal, and all the customs guys ran off to the side and left me alone, and I just pushed the cart through to the waiting taxis and got to the AP office. From that point on, my job was to go to Tiananmen Square every morning and photograph the activities. And it was, you know, a very jovial experience, almost like a carnival atmosphere. Everybody was celebrating this new freedom that they had. Eventually, I was given the order to do the first night shift. On the night of June 4th, I went out, and things started really getting pretty heavy. There was a burning armored car, and I lifted the camera to my eye. At the second, a large brick hit me in the face. The camera absorbed the blow. Fortunately, it saved my life. And then I had to get back to the AP office and file. I didn't go back out. I was just too scared. I was sick. I had a massive concussion. And the following day, I got a message again from AP. We don't want anyone to take any unnecessary risk, but if somebody could please photograph the occupied Tiananmen Square, we'd appreciate it. So I drew the small straw again, and it was my job to go to the Beijing Hotel, which had the closest vantage point. And I got there, and I had to get past secret police who were using electric cattle prods on the journalist. Fortunately, one young college kid from America named Kirk Martson, he managed to smuggle me up into his room, and that's where I made the tank man photograph.
This must have been an absolutely astounding scene that was playing out before your eyes as you're watching this lone gentleman walk out into the street in front of a line of tanks.
It was and it wasn't, because you have to remember I had a massive concussion. I was really spaced out, and nothing was really making a lot of sense to me. So seeing a guy walking out in the middle of a boulevard with shopping bags and confronting tanks just seemed par for the course. And actually, when I saw the tanks coming down the street, I lined up my 400-millimeter lens, and I thought, well, you know, it's a nice shot. And the guy walks out, and the first thing I said, well, this guy's going to screw up my composition. And then Kirk's screaming, they're going to kill him, they're going to kill him. And so, you know, I looked at this guy just waiting for the instant he was going to be, you know, shot. But nothing happened, you know, and he's just still there, standing there. And so I realized the picture was too far away, and I looked back at the bed where I had a lens doubler. This would increase my focal length to 800-millimeter. So the situation was, do I gamble and maybe miss the shot completely, or do I go and try to increase the magnification to get a better picture? Well, I did that, and I took three frames, and I realized something was wrong with my camera setting. The shutter speed was too slow. And by that time, Tank Man was taken away. It was an error I made on the sensitivity of the film, but fortunately, one picture came out.
How were you able to get your film out of there with so much security in the hotel?
Well, thank God for Kirk Martson, because he was instrumental in not only getting me to the roof to photograph the occupied Tiananmen Square, which is my main goal, but he also helped me with getting the film past the secret police. You know, he just looked like a, you know, sort of a college student. He had short pants on, sandals, a dirty Rambo T-shirt. You know, he just looked like, you know, a young kid. And so he smuggled all my film into his shorts, and I remember standing on the balcony looking straight below me. And you could see the security guys, they're all sitting there having a smoke break. And so Kirk just strolls right by them, you know, one of the most iconic images and most embarrassing images for China. And he just walks by these guys with their cigarettes, gets on a bicycle, slowly unchains it. And I'm just looking down saying, go, 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 go. And then he gets on the bike and starts pedaling away, although a little bit awkwardly because all his film's in his, you know, shorts. And it's a painful experience, I guess, riding with that much film in your shorts. But he goes all the way down to the looking for the AP office, can't find it, is smart enough to think about going to the American Embassy, tells them it's very important film and it needs to go to AP. Fortunately, the American Embassy did that. They transferred the film over to the office, and it was transmitted to the rest of the world, and that's how it was done. Mm. And he really risked his life doing that.
You were dealing with film in that era. I mean, it wasn't like a digital camera of today, and this had to be developed and then transmitted.
Well, you're right about that. And in fact, that impact from the rock that hit me, it hit the camera when it was to my face. It ripped the entire top of the camera off, the flash, the lens, shattered the mirror, and bent the titanium shutter curtain. That's how strong the impact was. And when we got the film back to the office, Mark Avery, who was the photo editor then for AP, he had to go in the dark room and literally take pliers to pry the film out to develop it. And so the other thing that's interesting about that is that because we were so busy, the chemicals were not refreshed properly. So the Tankman negative actually started disintegrating almost immediately. And fortunately, AP managed to preserve it long enough digitally before it completely disintegrated. And right now, it basically, the negative is just gone completely.